It's good that we could come into the presence of the Lord to worship Him. And talking about that, let us continue worshiping the Lord with prayer. So I ask you to join me in prayer at this moment. Let us bow our heads and pray to our Father in heaven. Almighty God, gracious, merciful Father, what is man that you care for him? And the Son of Man that you are mindful of him? Oh Lord, we really want to once again thank you for your wonderful salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And dear Lord Jesus, indeed you are the fairest one. You are majestic. You are most high. And you are the one we bow down and worship, not only during this hour, but every moment of our lives. Oh Lord, we thank you for your dying on the cross for us. We thank you for your resurrection, and we thank you for this gift of eternal life. Oh Lord, as we continue our journey here on earth, may you help us to live this life to the full, so that whoever sees us can really see your work in our lives. Therefore, they will give glory to our Father in heaven. So help us walk in a way worthy of the calling of your salvation. O Lord, we pray that you bless each one of us, our families, and our church. And may this church continue to be a lampstand shining for you unto darkness. O Lord, we pray that this body of Christ will be built up by you, because you are alive in our midst, and you are the Lord and Master of our lives. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you, our church, especially during this week. We ask for your guidance, and may you equip us, may you bestow upon us all the gifts necessary so that we can go through this life in strength, with joy, and at the end, we can come back again to give thanks to you. And we thank you now for your word. We pray that your word can truly be a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Guide us so that we can walk not to the right, not to the left, but in the way that you so lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. Turn me on, please. Thank you. It's good to be back in your midst. And I want to thank God for the visit that my oldest daughter and I had in Hong Kong. It was good to see my mom. For your information, a little more than 2 years ago, my mom was in and out of the hospital at least once a month for some time. But this time around, when I saw her, I really want to praise God for how He has been watching over my mom. My mom is doing very well physically. Her eyesight is good. Her hearing is very good too. And when I talk to her, you know, she is, you know, her voice is very powerful for an 84-year-old woman. And spiritually, God is also blessing her. Her faith in the Lord is continues to be strong. And I really want to thank God for how He has been blessing my mom. And also I want to thank you for praying for us, especially me and my family, while I was away. It's good that we could share one another, even though share one another's prayer support, even though we are away from each other. Now let me begin this morning's sermon by asking you to name the major Christian festivals. What are the major Christian festivals? As Christians, we have major Christian festivals throughout the Christian calendar. All right? So what are they? Come on, tell me. Christmas, of course. Everybody remembers Christmas because that's the time when you receive big fat gifts, right? Okay? What else? Easter, of course. We just celebrated Easter last month. And? Yeah, Pentecost. Very good, Lucas. Yes, Pentecost. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. One more. We don't celebrate Passover. That's a Jewish, festival. Okay? Thanksgiving, that is, a cultural thing. That's a North American thing, European thing. Yeah, my son's got his hand up. Huh? Good Friday, yes. Very good. Good Friday. Alright, good. Now, but just now I heard one more, and you're right, whoever you are. You mentioned the Ascension. That's right. You know, Ascension is one of the Christian festivals. That's as important as others. Now, you know, the Ascension is an event that is about Jesus Christ returning to heaven, right? For this year, the Ascension has already taken place. It took place last Thursday on May the 13th. Today, not that many churches celebrate the Ascension. That's most unfortunate, especially among Chinese evangelical churches. This important festival seems to be non-existent. All right? That's most unfortunate. But Ascension, once again, is important. It is important historically, spiritually, and practically. The gospel writer Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, is renowned for being a careful historian. He recorded the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in detail, the historical setting at the time, who was the Caesar, who was the Roman Emperor, who was doing what and at what place at what time. Luke was very careful about details. And he continued at that same preciseness. He continued to practice that kind of carefulness when he recorded the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when Jesus Christ's earthly ministry came to an end, Luke helped us to remember, to recall this important event, the very last event that happened to our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the Ascension. And once again, with preciseness, Luke mentioned the place where it took place. The place, according to the book of Acts chapter 1, was Mount of Olives, not too far from Jerusalem. According to Luke's recording in chapter 1 of book of Acts, Mount Olives is about a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. How long is a Sabbath day's journey? Do you know? Very good. 3/4 of a mile. See? He pays his tuition fee well. It's worth every single dime, right? Okay. Yeah, 3/4 of a mile. You see, Luke is that kind of historian. He is very careful about details. And in his recording about the Ascension, he emphasized the presence of eyewitnesses. And so just now when Ronald was reading for us, in verse 9, Luke said, the Ascension took place before the very eyes of the disciples. People were there at the mountaintop to witness that important event. And so, the ascension was a real historic event. Jesus Christ did not just vanish into thin air after the resurrection. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, why did Jesus stay on earth 40 days after his resurrection? Why did he stay for that period of time? It seems there is some attractiveness about the number 40. Do you remember before Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry, after he went to the Jordan River to get baptized by John the Baptist? What did he do before he began his ministry? What did he do after baptism? Yeah, he fasted. Where did he go fasting? Yeah, in the desert. That's right. He went fasting in the desert for 40 days. According to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, during those 40 days, the devil tempted Jesus. He tried to get Jesus off track of his mission here on earth. But we praise the Lord. Jesus Christ persevered, and in the end, he overcame the enemy's temptation. And then he began his ministry. And he did all those things. And in the end, he was crucified on the cross for us. He died. He was buried. And on the third day, he was resurrected. And when he was resurrected, and in his resurrection, he proved that he had the power to overcome death, and he has the power to overcome sin. That's why he can be our Savior, delivering us from the bondage of sin. Now, in the 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus Christ appeared to different groups of people on many different occasions, in different places. Now, those appearances are of tremendous value to believers, not only of those days, but to us today. Because the appearances established the reality of Jesus Christ's lordship in each and every believer's life. If Jesus Christ just appeared once or twice or even three times, people would say, did he really rise from the dead? Was he really resurrected? Is he really alive? If he just appeared that few times. But we praise the Lord. He stayed on earth for 40 more days just to appear before his followers, just to remove the doubts of every single skeptic that he might not have been resurrected. Jesus Christ's appearances assure all the believers of his power and his authority and the genuineness of his resurrection. The ascension is a historic event, even though it seems like a mystery, because it's really beyond our human experiences. According to physics, who studied physics in school? Put up your hand, please. Now, according to the law of gravity, right? According to the law of gravity, everything that goes up must what? Come down, right? But Jesus Christ is different. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. He did not go up. He did not go up and then come down. In the human sense, right? He went up straight from the ground, from the earth. We have never seen anything like that in our human experiences. Now, it is the ascension. It's somewhat like a mystery because we have never seen it before. And because it is really in the realm of the supernatural, Jesus Christ is able to ascend because he is the God of creation. He is able to overcome the law of gravity because he created the law of gravity. Now, the ascension happened very quickly at Mount of Olives. When Jesus Christ had shared his last message with the apostles, he raised his nail-pierced hand, he blessed the apostles, and then he was lifted up into heaven. His body began to rise supernaturally. And a cloud, according to Luke's recording, bore him out of sight. What a fitting end to his earthly ministry. No doubt the resurrection signaled the ending of Jesus Christ's earthly life. But Jesus Christ's appearances to his followers after the resurrection were necessary to prove that he was alive. He is still alive today. But those appearances could not go on forever. It wouldn't make sense if those appearances began to taper off, to peter out. And in the end, you know, nothing was heard about Jesus. That wouldn't be right. You know, if that had happened, then the believers, if you and I were living in the first century in those days, you and I would begin to wonder, what happened? You know, we have been seeing him a lot of times, but lately we haven't seen him that much. You know, you will begin to question, right? You will begin to doubt. You will begin to have that kind of confusion. And so the resurrection appearances could not go on and on, and then later on, you know, taper off and peter out. Now, there must be a day, there must be a moment when Jesus Christ finished his appearances and returned to heaven. And so the ascension was the only fitting conclusion of Jesus Christ's earthly life and a fitting conclusion of Jesus Christ's ministry here on earth. Now, the disciples who witnessed the ascension saw it as an ending too. However, they did not leave the Mount of Olives brokenhearted. Why? Because not long before, Jesus Christ had met with them and told them that they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit in a few days. Now, of course, we or the apostles didn't know how long are those few days, right? There's no way they could know because Jesus Christ didn't tell them. But in any case, Jesus Christ promised them that in a few days they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit. That signaled a new beginning. That implied a new beginning. The disciples' faith was not just in Jesus with flesh and blood here on earth. Now the disciples could be linked to someone unrestricted, unlimited by time and space, not bound by the three dimensions. This gave the disciples great assurance. The resurrection and the ascension cannot be separated. They are actually two parts of one continuous movement, resulting in the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the resurrection. When Jesus Christ was resurrected on that very first day, he met Mary Magdalene at the tomb. When he was talking to her, he told her to tell the disciples in John chapter 20, verse 17. He said, "I am returning to my Father." The verb returning can be translated as ascending. In other words, Jesus Christ is saying, "I am ascending to my Father." This sounds as if the process of the ascension has already begun with the resurrection and will be completed when Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven resulting in the glorification of Him before in the presence of the Father. The resurrection and the ascension are milestones in the process by which Jesus, who was crucified, who was buried, who was resurrected, and now who has ascended, this very Jesus can finally enter into His Father's glory. He left that glory when He came to this earth, but now He returns to it with even more, because He completed that mission here on earth, the mission of redeeming you and me, the entire humanity. So historically, the ascension assures us of the completed work of Jesus Christ here on earth. And spiritually, it teaches us of Jesus' triumphal entry into heaven and His continuing ministry here on earth on our behalf. Now, how does that work? Well, He is up there in heaven, and how can He continue His work down here in heaven? Well, listen. Luke describes the ascension in the eyes of the apostle. Luke said the apostles were gazing into heaven as Jesus Christ went up. But then when we read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 19, I believe, yeah. Mark said Jesus was received into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. What a beautiful, fitting homecoming. Jesus Christ is now sitting on the right hand of God the Father. I believe all of us still remember back in February when our city hosted the Winter Olympic Games. What a tremendous occasion. What a joyous occasion, especially when we see Canadian Olympians win gold medals, right? You remember those moments when we cheered, when we rejoiced with those athletes. I was one of them. I was sitting in BC Place when they have the victory ceremony, when they presented medals to Canadians and to Chinese and to Americans. You know, I lived in all these three places. And what a wonderful experience. I can cheer for all three countries. Now, Jesus Christ's return, triumphal return to heaven, into glory. The rejoicing, the joy, I believe, is much more than what we saw in February. Now, Psalm chapter 24 foretells the homecoming of the Son of God. Psalm chapter 24, verses 7 and 8. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me. King David said, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle." And then Jesus Christ's apostle, the first apostle, Peter, confirms this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, where he says, "Jesus Christ has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him." You see? The ascension is in fact the day of coronation of Jesus Christ. You know, in heaven, Jesus Christ's crown of thorns is changed into the crown of glory. Here He suffered for us. He wore the crown of thorns for us. He bled for us. But when He completed His work of redemption, He returned to heaven. Now He is glorified. Just now I said much more, right? His crown is no longer that of thorns, but His crown is that of glory. The glory that our God the Father bestowed upon Him. And let us ask ourselves this question. Now that Jesus Christ is the King of glory, is He the the King of glory in your life and in my life. Who is Jesus Christ in our lives? Do we just come to Him when we run into trouble? Do we just pray to Him, cry out to Him when we need help? Who is He? Who is this King of glory? Christ Jesus our Lord, who was crucified for us, who died for us, who was buried for us, who was resurrected for us, and now He is ascended into heaven for us. Who is He in our lives? This is the question you and I need to ask today. This is the question only you can answer yourself. I cannot answer for you. Not even God can answer for you. Not even Jesus can answer for you. Who is Jesus in your life? Now, the ascension also opened a new age of the Spirit. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 7. Now, when Jesus Christ was spending His last evening with the disciples, He told the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 7. He said, "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor," meaning the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." And so the ascension also signaled a new beginning, a new age of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we celebrate the Pentecost, 10 days after the Ascension. And so the Pentecost Sunday is next Sunday. Because the Ascension was last Thursday, so you count 10 days from last Thursday to next Sunday is exactly 10 days. That's when we remember the coming, to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Ascension stands for the liberation of Jesus from the limitation of space and time. He's no longer like us, controlled by the three dimensions. Jesus Christ is freed to be present with whoever seeks Him, anywhere, anytime. Actually, when we think about it, it is good that Jesus Christ is not with us now in a human body, and therefore limited to one location. You know, just think about this. If Jesus Christ were still with us, present with us in a physical body, He could only be here today, at this moment, receiving our worship, listening to our praises, listening to the sermon, joining with us. He could be nowhere else. He could not be in any other church. You know, when I was in Hong Kong, my daughter and I went to the Fanling Baptist Church. It's a Chinese church. And then we went to the Hong Kong City Church. It is a church that, you know, our friends, Leslie and Alan, attend. You remember Leslie and Alan, right? They recommended that church to us. We were glad that we were able to worship wherever we desired, however God led us. And if Jesus Christ were present with us in a physical body, He could only be in Hong Kong, and He could not be here in Canada. But when we were worshiping God in those two churches on Sundays, I remember You. I remember that, you know, on this day, my brothers and sisters are worshiping God just the same, albeit in Burnaby, BC, Canada. So we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord that He is not physically present with us in that sense. And yet, you know, He is with us through the working of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about worshiping God in the Hong Kong City Church. It's an English church, English-speaking church. The pastor is an Australian, And there is another pastor, older one, who is American, and most of the attendees are just like you, Canadian-born or American-born or Australian-born Chinese, black-haired, a few Caucasians sprinkled in between. But that worship service was an eye-opener for me. Wow, it's very contemporary. All the songs they sang were really out of my depth. You know, I have never heard of those songs before. But they sang it from the bottom of their hearts. They sang it, you know, very joyfully. And I said to my daughter afterwards, "You know those songs?" My daughter says, "Yes, I know those songs." Now that tells me how old I am, you know, how out of touch I am. And when I join you here in the English service, I feel very much at home, because your songs are still not that, you know, you know what I mean. But when I was sitting in that Hong Kong City Church, wow, the drums are loud, the keyboard was loud, and everything was so fast. But anyway, we thank God that we could worship Jesus Christ anywhere, anytime, because He is not limited by space, by place, by time. You know, we thank the Lord that now the Holy Spirit has come. He has come to live with us. He has come to help us to live out this new life in Christ to the full. Christ is in you as well as in me, as well as in my brothers and sisters in Hong Kong, as well as in my mother's life in Hong Kong, because He has ascended into heaven and He has sent the Holy Spirit to live with us. The ascension assures us of Jesus' continuing presence in our lives, assures us of Jesus' continuing ministry in our lives. And practically, the ascension reminds us of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, while the apostles were straining with their eyes, right, to gaze at the ascending Jesus Christ, to catch the last glimpse of that cloud that bore Jesus Christ up, they didn't notice that two heavenly beings had, you know, come alongside. And these two heavenly beings, the two angels, spoke to them in chapter 1, verse 11. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven." Now, it would be an oversimplification to say that the Lord's second coming will be like a film on the ascension played backwards, to return to the same spot wearing the same clothes. No, it wouldn't be like that, right? It's different. Jesus Christ's second coming will be in person, for sure, but it will not be in private. The book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Every eye will see Him. Every eye in Burnaby, in BC, every eye in St. John's, Newfoundland, every eye in Paris, France, every eye in Kandahar, Afghanistan, every eye in Beijing, China, all over the world will see Him." And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 says, "The Lord Himself will come down from heaven." And Jesus told His disciples in Mark chapter 13, verse 32, "No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father knows about that day, about that time." And the all-important and practical aspect of the ascension is that we must be ready. We must get ready for His second coming. If something breaks our fellowship with God the Father, we better fix it quickly. If something that damages our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ or with anyone, we better fix it. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you better do so quickly. Because when He comes, you will have no choice. You will have no chance to do so. You must put it right away, to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Besides getting ready, we must ask ourselves this question too. Are we good stewards of the talent, of the time, of the treasure that God has given to you and to me? Are we fulfilling His ministries here on earth? Are we doing the work that He wants us to do here at the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church? You know, God has placed us here for a purpose. You know, God is not a wishy-washy God. You know, He is not a God without purpose. He knows what He is doing. And He has placed you and me in this church at this moment during this time for a purpose. So are we good stewards of His God-given gifts? You know, the angels asked the disciples, why do you stand here looking into the sky? So we must not just stand there and look. We must look around us too to see what God has asked us to do, to finish the ministry that He has given to us. And one very important thing is we must share the good news. Spread the good news so that many others will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And while I was in Hong Kong, I thank God for the opportunity to share the gospel with my brothers, my cousins, and some of my relatives on the Lam side and on Eva side. Now, I'm ashamed to tell you, and I've been a Christian for many years, yet I haven't really done any personal one-on-one sharing of the gospel with my family members. And before I got on this trip to Hong Kong, I said to God, I want to tell them about You. And I did. I want to thank God for that wonderful opportunity to share the good news with my cousins, with my brothers and their families. Brothers and sisters, I know it is hard. It is hard to share the good news with your family members. It is hard to share the good news with someone who is close to you in your family. It's not easy. But by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. And God wants us to be His representative, the ambassador of Christ here on earth, to spread the gospel for Him. You know, when you look around, when you see so many natural catastrophes, you know, the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, or the earthquakes in China, or the volcanic eruptions on Iceland, the floods in the southern United States, wars and the turmoil, the commotion in Thailand, Bangkok, Thailand. We begin to wonder. The teaching of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24 is really becoming more and more, if I may use that word, true. Well, actually, it's been true, But it seems, you know, it's getting truer and truer. It's getting more and more fulfilled. And so what are we doing? Are we still standing there like the disciples gazing into the sky? Or are we really going to use that term, get cracking, right? We should get cracking to get started, to do some work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready to see Him? Because His coming is fast approaching, and it is sure. Now, on the other hand, the ascension reminds us of Jesus' comfort and promise in the Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. If you have your Bible, turn to that too. Before, on that very last day, last evening, Jesus Christ told His disciples, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, but also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You know, brothers and sisters, when we face sufferings, when we face hardships, when the going seems to be tough, even when we are driven to the point of saying, crying out to God, "Oh God, I can't take it anymore." You know, our Father in heaven surely understands, and He empathizes with us. But at the same time, He tells us that our sufferings are only temporary. And He reminds us that this world, the beautiful place of British Columbia, is not our home. Our permanent home is up there. You know, Jesus Christ is preparing our permanent home for you and for me. And He is coming back to take us there soon. There, God will wipe every tear. God will do away with dying. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. And we can enjoy eternal glory with God. We can enjoy His eternal presence. And this is our eternal hope. And so, brothers and sisters, that is why we celebrate the ascension. And it's most unfortunate that many churches don't celebrate that today. But let us not forget that. If Jesus Christ has not ascended into heaven, there will be no second coming. If there is no second coming, you and I will be forever doomed. But we praise the Lord. He was resurrected, He was ascended, and He is coming back soon. And all God's people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank You for sending Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank You for His completing the mission of redemption here on earth. And we thank You that He has returned to You and now is seated on Your right hand. But Lord, we thank You that You are coming back soon. And You will come back to take us to be where You are. We praise You. And help us be ready. Help us be good stewards. And help us not to lose heart. Because we are people of hope. And this hope is firmly secured in Christ Jesus our Lord, our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.